Hello, everyone.
Wait a second,
welcome
Jeff.
To
Something
the...
really important.
Oh,
I have to stop you.
Underpants. Okay.
Hockey, no, hockey puck, rattlesnake, monkey, monkey, underpants. I had to do it.
Thank you.
And if you know, you know. It's a TV show quote.
I know the underpants. Reference, even though I've never seen the show.
Good.
That's how deep into...
underpants you are.
Yes. Yes. Oh,
I thought of you when I saw
got
it
Chuck's
recently.
Expression on film.
Yes. What? So for everybody who doesn't know, it's a Gilmore Girl reference. It's something that Lorelai says. Just she just starts rambling random words. That's what she says.
I could just sit here and watch Chuck as he tries to process
tries
this.
To process that information.
Well, I was out when you said Gilmore Girls. That was it. We're done.
You guys had me at Lauren Graham.
Yes.
Yeah, we had Chuck at Monkey Underpants.
Yes.
Okay.
Anyhow.
Cranky Swanson, which is the road on the show on the road.
Right? Yeah, if you were here before we actually started the show.
You missed the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, Frankie Swanson. Yeah. Anyhow, well, let's just keep this thing going. As I was saying, this is the Max Show, Monkey Monkey Underpants edition. And I'm Jeff Gammon. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And, I keep saying this might be the last week because at some point Ewan is just going to reach a breaking point and he's going to be like, mate, you got to go.
Yeah.
But it still hasn't happened. So, we'll see next week. Anyhow. Wow. Well, on the special Monkey Underpants Cranky Swanson edition of the show, Chuck, how are you?
I'm a little confused as at the beginning of this particular show, but other than that, I'm fine. My plumbing issues have all been resolved happily, so life is good.
Speaking of monkey underpants.
I have no idea what that means, but I'm a happy person because I no longer am mopping water, so there's a lot to be said for that.
All I heard was a string of euphemisms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I'm so happy. Chuck's plumbing problem, it's been taken care of.
Good for you, Chuck.
I should never have brought this up. It's on me.
Chuck, this is on
you. Yeah, that's the
complete mistake. Complete mistake.
Yeah. Ben. It is so great to see you. I'm glad the timing worked out so you could join us today. How are you?
I'm good. My doctor's appointment was very, very short.
That's usually
which
good.
Which means, yeah, it is very good. It was very good, especially since I was there early, I got out in time to join the show.
Yay.
Awesome. We've missed you. I'm so glad you're here. Man, you had an early appointment. Wow. Yeah.
10 o'clock.
I'm looking at the time here. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. You're an hour ahead of me. Yeah. Sometimes I forget that there are other time zones besides the core time zone for the entire planet of
Central.
Mountain time.
Okay. Right.
It's the only one that actually matters, right? Everyone does their time zone math based on mountain time, right?
Yes.
No, nobody does it.
Well, I can
leave
see
him.
Where this is going to
Ben,
be a problem.
Leave him. Like, it doesn't matter. It's like, let him believe. Yeah.
let him have this one thing,
exactly.
Ben. It's
let
all
him
he's
just
got.
Believe that. Exactly.
Yeah. And the bringer of the monkey underpants, Patrice. How are you?
I'm doing well, as you can tell. I had a random but crazy week. Very short night because we did record a really cool episode of Retro Rewatch yesterday, and it was a lot of fun. But it kind of went a little long, I think, which was my fault. So.
Well, it could have. thought it was my fault.
No, it was mine. It's like technical issues and all of that. So, but it was fun. Like it was a lot of fun. So yeah, Other than that, I'm good. It's Friday. Like, hey, done with work almost for the week. So, little thing to do.
It's Friday.
Yeah. So, yeah. Happy.
It's my Saturday one.
Nice.
So, that's awesome. That's right, because you're an hour ahead of me. Yeah, that makes
sense. That's why, sure.
Oh, Ben, you've missed being on the show with me, haven't you?
Ben. Hey, Ben, this is my third show with him this week. And so
oh my God.
You can only imagine where my blood pressure is.
I can draw you a picture.
Yeah, there's
your Inktober. It's like in the
today,
cartoons. Though. The heart has already jumped out of the body and has run away.
I'm guessing not 128 over 70.
Nope.
You know, great thing about being on shows with me is that by the time the show's done, you can feel so much better about yourself because you can say, at least I'm not Jeff.
Yes.
So, you know, there's that. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey.
I think you have to say hi to the others.
Who have I missed?
Probably everybody. I don't know.
Anyhow.
That Jeff guy?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, say hi to that Jeff guy.
How's it going today? I'm doing great. I'm hanging out with cool people. No kidding. Which cool people? Well, apparently you weren't paying attention because I just introduced them. I got nothing. All right, this is what happens when you get up just a little too late and don't have time to make tea before doing a show. The irony is, with the tech issues we had, I could have made tea anyhow, but here we are. That's the level of dedication I have for all of you. I'm here. I didn't make tea. And I guess I should probably apologize in advance for everything that I say or do on the show today.
There's a very obvious and easy solution for that. So if anybody's listening from the from your area, I think people know, the people who are in your area probably know you. If someone wants to stop by and bring Jeff some tea, that would be really appreciated.
Right. I'm waiting for the knock at the door now.
It's going to be the plumber.
That totally...
Right.
That totally wasn't the solution I was going to come up with. It was to be booze.
Well, I mean, that's alternatively also fine. We'll take it. It's Friday.
Yeah.
It's already after 5 here, so it's fine.
Oh, well then I'm getting a late start.
Yeah, exactly.
It is 5 o'clock somewhere.
Yeah, it's 5:30 already, so you're late.
Yep.
I am late. Yep, that's on me.
Let's do something completely out left field and talk to Apple.
Oh, we could do that, but
what
first,
kind of apples?
I'm
Granny Smith.
Honey Crisp. Honey Crisp Pro Mini.
Yeah, okay. Ben's favorite.
Okay. Yeah, okay, I'll take it.
And it's a hybrid, so when he says it has USB-C, the C stands for citrus, which is a really weird tasting apple. Just saying. I'm starting to realize why Dave Ginsberg wasn't able to join us today, and it's because he just knew better.
He's still recovering from last night's show.
Yeah, he's probably
that's very likely. Yeah.
Yeah.
He did, however, as always, let us borrow his show notes from In Touch with iOS so that I don't have to do as much research in the morning to find stuff for us to talk about. Yep. And actually, I'm totally derailing us. Research. Yeah. I do all my research on Chuck's OnlyFans.
Let's face it. I'll come out and say it. The Mac Show, we are the laziest show on the internet.
No, there's lazier shows than that. Sorry.
Yeah, I think that's a safe bet.
Yeah.
But we have set a very low bar.
That's
so
true.
Yeah. All right. So my derailment to start off the show is sharing some.
And Karen.
Yeah, sharing. Well, actually, caring is part of it because it's like a public service announcement. I have started getting a new phishing scam email in the last couple of days. And the phishing email, it's a very official looking email, even has correct spelling in it, and it purports to be from your email hosting service telling you that you need to verify your email account because they're getting ready to purge all of the inactive accounts. And if you don't complete the verification by actually it's today's date
Of
by
course.
like 11,
Pressure.
18 and 6 seconds
Yeah, pressure.
that your account will be deleted and all of your email will be purged. And I have gotten three of those
Yeah, I've gotten
in
like
the last
15 or
days.
20 of those at least. It's that giveaway that's, I mean, one, also, I'm on my own email provider, so.
Right. It, yes.
Wait a second,
Delete
I'm
your
like,
shit,
I'm
Patrice.
deleting my own account. No, that's not gonna happen.
Yeah. And the email account that I'm getting them for is an email account that I have complete control over. And I know that
That's bullshit,
there's no purge happening. So I'm bringing it up because what this tells me is that if I'm starting to get them, other people already are getting them, and they can look pretty official. So now you can be prepared when you see these emails showing up. And yeah, one of the clues in one of the emails was click here and then verify in your cPanel. Okay, so
Yep. Also, people, I'm an African prince. If you give me all your bank account numbers, I will share my
That's
enormous wealth with
you.
you.
That's you. I always thought it was someone else. Now that I know it's you, I'm for sure gonna do
Yeah, I, you know, hold on. I need to do a bank transfer right now.
that.
So the look on Chuck's face says, "Oh crap, I verified my email account 3 times already."
No, actually, I haven't seen this. I'm just double checking my spam folder and my seeing later folder to make
I
sure,
got
but
them
I
even
have not seen this one.
on my like a work Office 365 email address a couple of times even.
Yeah,
Well.
funny. The emails from onlychucks.com have not seemed to change any.
No, but boy, they sure are good. Yeah. So anyhow, I'm assuming that this is all just
Oh, that's a good
from
point.
it's from people or scammers that have scraped email addresses from
Oh,
databases that have been
no.
stolen from
Yeah.
somewhere.
You don't need to scrape that. There's literally a marketplace today where you can literally just buy email addresses in bulk.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, it's not a
Chuck, we have a new
thing.
business opportunity right here. Let's put together a database of email
And
addresses
sell
and
them.
start selling it.
Yeah, good idea.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Frankie Swanson says.
Cranky Swanson's totally legit, fresh email database. Get your copy now. Supplies are limited. Cranky says, "I must be crazy to sell the database for this low, and that's why I'm cranky." We
And
have to get you a
the
polyester
first
suit.
20 copies get 500 extra addresses for free.
Yes.
But wait, there's more. If
More.
you order now, we throw in this free AI spell checker worth $49.95.
I,
Are
seriously, Jeff,
random today.
I'm just checking everything. I have not seen this one.
It'll
Who's
come. Don't worry.
it from? Or is it
It's just
oftentimes it
random.
shows as Okay. Yeah, it
Whatever
can
your
show as
email
coming from your
providers.
own email address
Yeah.
is or
Yeah.
one of them that I received, it was some other rando email address, but usually it's just showing my own address.
Okay. Yeah, just again, just really I'm just intrigued because it seems like I get an awful lot of spam, and so they must have not had me on that particular list.
Spam,
Not that
spam,
that's a bad thing. Not that that's a bad thing.
Don't worry, it'll happen.
It'll come.
Note
Oh,
to
good.
self, update my spam database so Chuck gets the messages now too. Got it.
Yep.
Thanks. Yep. Okay.
Send your spam, or send your spam to cranky@crankyswanson.com.
Right.
Yeah. What's also fun is you get a recommendation from the Microsoft Security Center.
Oh yeah, I've got those all the time. Which would seem to be a contradiction in terms, but that's another discussion.
Yeah, but Chuck, they're just looking out for your best interests.
Yes.
And the best way to do that is for you to give them all of your login and password information.
Yes. For their
It's
safekeeping, of
the
course.
only way to be sure.
Yes, make
sure it's me. Yes.
Also sign in to log, sign in with their log me in link.
Oh, that's
Oh,
yeah.
right. Yes. That's a big help too. It makes it so much easier. Yeah. Hey
So
gang, there's a
should
new
we?
iPad mini.
Yeah, we should talk about that.
I heard that.
How was that for a transition?
Smooth.
Eh,
Smooth.
eh. Yeah,
Yeah.
I
Anyhow.
mean, contrary to what people have said, there would be a big event and whatever. So far, we've gotten a press release.
Right. But we did get a new iPad mini. Short rundown of feature improvements or new features. A17 Pro processor. It now has a faster USB-C.
Apple
It
Pencil Pro.
has, thank you, Apple Pencil Pro support. And what am I missing? Because I'm just rattling off the top of
Wi-Fi
my head.
6E,
Thank you, Wi-Fi 6E. Oh,
upgraded camera and with smart HDR4. I think that's it.
yes, and it'll support Apple Intelligence when that
Oh,
rolls out
true.
for iOS 18.
Yeah, four colors, blue and purple, and the usual gray.
And new Smart Folio covers that this time, I mean, if I were getting one now, this is a Smart Folio cover I'd actually consider.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
double the storage from previous versions. So it's 128 now as a
That's right.
base, and then 256, 512 if you need it.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yep.
64 is really pushing it these
And
days. Could
because
barely
of
you
the
can yeah you can barely
Oh, go
put
ahead.
you can barely put an OS update on a 64 gig
Yes, I guess it was due.
Yeah.
Because it has the A17 Pro chip, it also has improved graphics performance.
Yeah,
But still the same display as the iPad Mini 6 that it replaces.
Yeah, I'm guessing that was half of the reason why they did it. So they didn't get rid of the old CPUs. Because now it's in line with everything else, basically. And anything new, at least, like the new iPhones and so on.
Yep, still Touch ID instead of Face ID,
Boo.
which bugs me. It's, yeah,
Probably still cheaper.
it's, oh, I'm sure it's a cost thing that, but come on. Give us Face ID on the iPad Mini.
Get rid of
Is
it.
it a cost thing, or do you think it's a differentiator? I
Oh,
mean, and
both.
listen, I haven't looked this up, but do the base model iPads have the base model full size iPads have Face ID?
No,
No.
only the Pro.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if this isn't a different one of the differentiators between the Pro line and the regular line.
Yeah.
Probably a little bit
And could
of
be.
that both.
Yeah.
Yeah,
And
but at the same time, on the iPhone, they don't use that as a differentiator
it's
between the
true.
regular and the Pro.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
That's a
fair
fair
point.
point, Jeff.
Yeah.
I
But I mean,
guess I feel like the iPhone's in a different class though, because of the all the use cases you have for the iPhone.
yeah. No, and I mean,
it just, it feels like it feels like there's more information that I would be really worried about getting in the wrong hands on my iPhone than there probably is on my iPad mini.
yeah, I mean, the difference is
So,
probably also iPhones are more personal devices for like the normal for normal people, more personal devices. iPads often, especially, get shared. So that's probably maybe a little bit easier with Touch ID, I guess. Yeah, but as I said, like, it's probably not an either or. It's probably, yes, it does differentiate. Yes, it's probably cheaper. Yes, it's probably not needed.
Sure would be nice. I mean, I pick up all my other devices and Face ID on my iPad Pro, Face ID on my iPhone, pick up my iPad Mini
But your Mac doesn't
and
have Face ID.
That's true. My Mac doesn't have Face ID, which I think a lot of people are wishing it did.
Including me.
No.
So, but I mean, at least on the Mac, there's more of a reason, I think, for not having Face ID, which is that you don't have a display with a built-in camera on every Mac.
That hasn't stopped them before. Not every Mac had even a Touch ID sensor. I think to this day the Mac
That's
Minis don't, right? Only if you buy the keyboard.
only if you buy the keyboard.
Yeah.
Yep.
Not the Mac Mini. The Mac Mini
So
is the, I meant the iMacs, but the Mac Minis as well, actually. I meant the iMacs. They have a display, but not Face ID.
that's true. They have a display, but no Face ID.
Yeah.
Well,
Other than that, don't
regardless.
care. I said it the other day. This is my iPad Super Mini, or AKA the iPhone 16 Pro Max.
And for me, I have an iPad Mini 6. I use it a lot. And yeah, I'm not going to replace it. But
Why would you?
if I didn't have an iPad Mini 6, I would be getting the 7. It's the what it tells me is that Apple is not abandoning the iPad Mini as a product. I've never thought Apple was abandoning the iPad Mini, but I always see talk about that online. And th this is an another point to back me up, saying, no, Apple's not getting rid of the iPad Mini.
Jeff, I agree with you, and sometimes I wonder. I can't figure out why some people absolutely love the iPad Mini, and others seem to want it to be a full-size iPad, when there is a full-size iPad. It just it everybody said the criticisms I see of the Mini, I mean the people that love it love it, but the criticisms I see always seem to be, well, it could be just this, it could be just that. And it's like, yeah, there is one of those already. So go and buy that. That's what I can't quite understand. It seems like they have to find something to knock it down about or with. And so they say things that just don't make a lot of sense.
Well, for those people, what I'm hearing is the iPad Mini isn't a device for me.
Yes.
But I see everything as something that Apple's making for me. Therefore, they've disappointed me by making this thing that actually isn't for me.
That's what, yeah, that's a much better way of saying it than I was trying to express it.
But you're right. There's people all the time complaining about, well, if the Mini only had this, and then you just point
The Mini
to,
was only the iPad Pro.
right.
Yeah, exactly, Patrice. Exactly.
Oh
Yeah, or if the Mini was.
no.
And Chuck freezes. So we'll never know. It's the one feature that would have made all the difference, and we will never know.
I froze?
Yes, you did.
You did. So we missed what the one thing was. The universe changing feature for the Mini Pro.
Oh, I don't even know what I said.
See,
the Jack Palance one thing from City Slickers.
If I'm not sure where I froze, so if it's a Kindle, and it should be a Kindle, should be just a little smaller, you know, so it could be more like the Kindle. Well, didn't that just buy a Kindle? But you know, with a Kindle, you can do a whole lot less, and so yeah, if that's what you want, that's fine. But
Isn't that a universal problem? It's not limited to iPads. I think it's in general. Like if whether it's a TV show, or a Mac or whatever. Like basically, whenever you say "if only it was like" and insert whatever, it was a little bit more like. I think that's a wrong approach.
Mm-hmm.
Because then just do the other thing. I mean, maybe sometimes there's something to it where it's like it could probably steal that idea and make it better, but usually it's not.
Yeah. And I have a Kindle as well. And now that it's working again, it spent a year refusing to charge and then started working again. Yay, Amazon. I like the Kindle because it's a single function device.
Mm-hmm.
I like the iPad mini because it's a multifunction device. And I don't feel like either needs to be more like the other. But yeah, I see a use case for both devices in the form factors that they currently have. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
So here's another thing that Apple has done that seems so obvious and yet mm-hmm. is surprising that it actually happened. You can now change iCloud email addresses and that with iOS 18.1, and you can also change the, I'm saying this wrong, I'm certain of it, change the name that's part of the your Apple ID.
Oh, so you could basically change the part before at iCloud.com. Did I get that right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could change your primary email address. That was always possible.
It's, but it's easier now. I think that's part of the change here. Said it's easier mm-hmm. to do that. But yes, so changing the name. So ultimately your iCloud email address changes. Holy crap. Why was it that difficult for me to get those words out?
Words mouth.
Difficult. But anyhow, this seems like a very obvious thing for Apple to do.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. yet it took this long before it became a thing. And, Chuck, you mentioned on Mac Voices some of the reasons why you thought this is a good idea. So I'm dumping this in your lap for a moment so you can share some of those.
Well, I think it's a good idea. I mean, first of all, it's just having the flexibility. But there are times that people do want to legitimately change their identity, not in the sense of trying to be somebody else, but I'm going for divorces, that kind of thing, or relationships or associations with companies that, you know, you thought that you were going to be associated with this forever. So you put some kind of company designator into your email address, and, you know, then all of a sudden the company goes out of business or they let you go or you leave. And now up till now, you've been stuck with that. Now you can change that. And the question that still seems to be outstanding is, what happens if somebody sends something to me at my old address?
They tell you that. They'll tell you. I just tried. I just checked it. They tell you. They warn you. You will not be able to sign in with that old address. You will not be able to receive anything with that old address, including FaceTime and whatever. Mm-hmm. If someone had you as an email with that email address in FaceTime and only with that, they will not be able to reach you again because that is gone. You can change your address. Basically, yeah, it fully changes your address.
Could you set up an alias?
No, I don't think so. Oh, I don't know. Could be, but it's...
Well, Patrice, I get that, but I guess boil it down to something simpler. If I've subscribed to a newsletter mm-hmm. as, you know, whatever in my old address, and
forward.
I change my address.
It's not going to forward. Okay. They tell you that. And it's very clear. It's removed completely, 100%. Yeah. Gone.
And I feel good about that because that means that you are wiping the slate clean.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, if you have a concern, mm-hmm. then... Get a new address or use an alias, mm-hmm. and forward things on. But if you really want to, you know, I don't want to say cut the cord. That's a whole other metaphor for another situation. But if you want to cut the identity, then they now give you the option.
Yeah, it would be interesting if you could set up an alias afterwards, basically with the old address. Would have to check that.
The other use case that I saw for this, is dead names.
Yeah. Yep. Sure. I think they're legally.
I'd like to think that was like a driving force for Apple,
mm-hmm.
because they are so progressive in so many ways. So this would be like a perfect reason for them to get on board with
that. And I'm pretty sure if you reached out to them before and asked, they probably would have done it, but now it's self-service basically, so you don't bother anybody with it basically.
Which is easier for them.
Yep. Saves them money.
Awesome.
Cool.
Ben, you haven't had a chance on many shows to talk about this yet, so I'm giving you a platform.
I talked a little about yesterday. Look, this is something Apple should have done a long time ago. Mm-hmm. It's something that makes sense, but the one thing I've noticed, it's like someone at Apple has been going around looking at things with a new light and just saying, okay, that doesn't make sense anymore. Maybe we should change it to something more consumer friendly. And you're seeing a lot of that in iOS 18 in general.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we finally got to customize the home screen a little bit more. Mm. Customizing your icons. It's just... It seems like Apple just kind of... Okay, it's not as rigid anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is a good change. And I am still not holding my breath for what I want Apple to do next, which is let us merge our Apple ID accounts.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
Yeah, a boy can live in hope, right? Yeah.
But maybe, it's not going to happen. Maybe in another 10 years.
Yeah, I think what's happening there is they're just waiting for those of us that have the really old accounts to just stop using them or die.
Yes.
And ultimately that solves their merging account problem.
And, you know, I guess I'm, it's not convenient, but to me, it's not horrendous. And even more so when maybe because I've had an iTools account, but it makes perfect sense that it's, you know, that, okay, times changed, the purpose of that ID changed, especially when the App Store came up. And so, you know, it is what it is. You know, in some ways I don't really mind it. It would be very convenient in some areas, in other ways, this is okay. Sounds like I'm in the minority in that opinion, but
I think you're in the minority, but
doesn't mean you're wrong,
right?
Yeah. I guess I feel like there are bigger issues here, you know, that we all talk about and deal with than, you know, just having two accounts with Apple.
Mm-hmm. Or four.
Why would you have four? I need someone to explain this to me.
Okay, so now, granted, I'm in a position that a lot of users aren't, but a lot of developers are, mm-hmm. where they reached a point where with their old iTools account, where Apple said, hey, you can't do whatever this thing is that you want to do because your Apple ID is no longer compatible. So then you make another account, a new one, just so you can do the one thing. But now that you've done the one thing, now you have this Apple ID that's just extra. And so I'm in the case where I started with iTools. And then when Apple changed everything to the .Mac thing, then now I have two accounts. And then when then there was something, I can't even remember what it was, something related to developer account stuff where I ended up having to make a third account just to do that thing. And the fourth account, I don't even remember why I ended up having to make that one. And so it just sits out there and it's a wasted account. It'd be nice to be able to take those and merge them back into one thing. But that's not going to happen. So I have two accounts that I use all the time. It'd be nice to have those together. And then to take the other two accounts that are just sitting there and merge them in.
I mean, could you just delete them?
One of them I actually can't.
Oh.
The other one I probably could. The one that I can't is because it asks for verification. It asks for the credit card that's attached to the account. And there was never a credit card attached to the account.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, Jeff. So you... This is really interesting, and it's kind of news to me because I've never understood. I have two. I have my well, now it's an iCloud account. Let's just call it that. And I have then an Apple ID that is for the store for purchasing things.
Mm-hmm.
Is the issue that you ran into, and it sounds like it, is that just a developer issue where people would have more than two?
No,
not necessarily.
For a lot of people, if you started with an iTools account, when the App Store rolled around, you, for whatever reason, suddenly had two accounts.
I've also seen cases where, for example, like spouses would have kind of a shared third account where they would buy everything, like on the store, so they could share it. But they had their still individual accounts for everything else. And then, I don't know, they split or something, and now what happens to the third account? Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Who gets custody of the account?
Yeah.
That's the world we live in now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, see who's walking the Apple ID.
Right.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Well, Mondays, and Wednesdays, and Fridays, you get... No.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. But what about the holidays? Well, we'll alternate the holidays.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
But you know, it also brings up another issue that about passing. We know this can't be done, but you know, I've purchased a copy of Final Cut. So it's attached to my Apple ID. And so what happens when something happens to me? If I get hit by a bus tomorrow,
it's gone.
If somebody has my Apple ID, they can theoretically use it mm-hmm. by signing into a device that has me.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that,
it's gone.
You know, there's no way to transfer the ownership of that software.
And if you have, and that may be important, as far as I know, if you have set up a legacy contact, they do not get to transfer anything out or use it. They can get your data like in iCloud Drive or whatever and emails and all of that, but like anything you purchased stays in the account and then that account gets deleted at the end.
Yeah.
Wow. So all the stuff that we buy digitally. You don't own it. Not like this is news. Yeah, you don't own it. Despite like you what said, people want to think.
Yes.
Yeah, like you said, Jeff, it's a world we live in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I saw a meme recently that ties into this, and it was, why are Gen X people so angry all the time? And it said, well, first we bought our music on LP. Then we had to rebuy it on cassette. Then we had to rebuy it on CD. And then we had to rebuy it as digital. And now we're having to rebuy it on LP.
That's funny.
So, of course, we're mad. Yeah.
That's good.
Hey, before we hop onto the rest of the stuff, Patrice, you just dropped a link yes. into the live chat.
Yeah, just
even though it's not mm-hmm. Mac or Apple specific, mm-hmm. we should talk about this.
Okay, because we talked about email, and I just got that in a message, so that's why I dropped it in. Because we just talked about the like email scams and so on, and I thought that was quite appropriate for that. So there is a new scam going around, mostly on Google. Google has confirmed that. Which is super scary because it is kind of even the most sophisticated, knowledgeable people it's easily get tricked by this because they're really pulling out all the stops. So what happened apparently, the story is that a Microsoft solutions consultant, he got basically it's an AI scam call at the end, but he got a notification to approve a Gmail account recovery attempt, which of course he didn't respond to. He got mm-hmm. a phone call right after, which he missed. And then didn't think of it because, you know, spam calls and phishing attempts or whatever it is kind of, for people like us, the daily thing. But then, mm-hmm. I think like it was a week later or something, he got... he saw later that the phone call was supposedly from Google in Sydney. But he still didn't really think about that. And then he got a week or something later, he got another recovery attempt and another phone call. And this time he responded and it was like perfect, like a person in perfect English. And it was like, yeah, kind of asking, like, are you traveling? Did you log in from Germany? And so on, like kind of ratcheting up the fear. He was actually in the background Googling the account, the phone number, and it showed up as a real Google kind of business like website.
Mm-hmm.
So that is already pretty sophisticated to do that. Kind of from it, I think you can see where this is going. So kind yeah. of at some point he got as well fooled. So they were really. I mean, it's all AI generated. It's not a real person you were talking to. It's a completely automated mm-hmm. system. Or most of the time, the page that they that he found looks 100% genuine and very helpful and like what you would expect from Google, but at the end of the day, it was literally a phishing attempt.
Yes. So, here's a tip: if it looks helpful and it's from Google, it's fake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think actually he didn't. Yeah. At the end of the day, I think he somehow got a bad feeling and got out of it, but it was very close.
Wow. So. All right.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I think. Yeah. So I mean, it's the story's in the chat. I don't want to go too deep into it. We probably don't have the time for it, but read it. It's well worth reading. It's like really good. It's actually two stories. There's another one.
Wow. Okay. That's scary, but.
Yeah.
Cool that you got this and
yeah, I mean,
passed it on.
To learn from it as well is you should, even if you're on the phone or before you even got to go on the phone, you should do the best to see if you can verify it. ideally, don't even take the phone number you got. Basically, try to find the correct, like if there is a phone, which in Google's case, there is even none. But like I had that with, it wasn't actually a spam call at the end, but I got a message from like Goldman Sachs at the end for the Apple Card. I did not trust it. I actually went around, did the official route to the support and asked them about it. And then they confirmed, yes, this was actually real. So that's what you should be doing. Like try to, and it is super hard sometimes. I mean, I think he even asked then the guy to send on the phone to send an email confirmation. And even that they did, and it was fake. And that's where I think where he noticed then that it was fake. Even the address that it was supposedly from was very cleverly disguised like an address. So on. So it was really, really well done. It wasn't actually a Google domain, but it was very close to it.
Wow.
You could have missed that. There were little clues that it was an AI voice, and there was like some little hints here or there, and he got suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
But most people probably wouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
You're used to, I don't know, data at, like support centers in India or whatever, and
yeah,
might think, oh, maybe that person's not in the US or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, and the worst part of it, pardon me, is that there may be a couple little hints or indications here, but this is going to get better.
Yes.
And they're going to get they're going to fix those little hints so that it appears as legitimate as possible.
Now
don't expect the computer to be like, give me your password, meat bag.
Yeah.
Bag of mostly water. Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be a lot more people getting tricked.
Yes.
As we move forward.
Unfortunately, yes. It's already happening.
Yeah.
You can see here. Yeah.
You know, read the
article, read the blog post. It's really worth it. It's a really interesting story as well. And if you're technically interested, there's a lot of details.
Yeah, awesome. I have to share this one. I got an email this morning and I'm going to read it because it's from security@mail.instagram.com. We got a request to change your password. You can create a new password by finishing making changes in Account Center. And then there's a big blue button, change password.
Yeah.
If you ignore this message, your password will not be changed and your changes to Account Center will not be saved. If you didn't request this new password, let us know. And there's a link there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, really? Okay. Is it legitimate? Did somebody request it? I don't know, but I'm not about to click either one of these links. I'm going to go to Instagram and change it myself.
Yes, that's the smart one.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Trust no one.
Yes, not even yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Not even Cranky Swanson.
No, exactly. I mean, that is literally the point. You shouldn't even trust yourself. Because your own like feeling that it might be true can trick you. That's what they actually what a lot of scammers play with, a lot of con men as well. Like think you are right and your feeling is correct and all of that, and in reality it's not. You were being manipulated.
Social engineering is far, far more effective.
Yes,
that's the word I'm looking for. Goddamn it. Far more effective than any blunt force coding attack.
Yeah. As Ian on the big show always says, it's always the squishy bits in front of the computer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He is so
By the way, Dave also received that message. So that could be also an indication that it's probably not real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And hey, Dave.
Oh, Dave. You're here or you're there, whatever.
He's everywhere.
So get this. Dave is here just in time for me to say, holy forking shirtballs, people. TSO hoes, how about them?
Guess who is real?
Right. You're right. Yeah. Tio Sojos, why would I suddenly just jump into that completely randomly? Well, it's not actually random because what I'm doing is letting all of you know that Tio Sojos, the web hosting company, they help you buy domain names, all that stuff you would want. They are being super generous and they are supporting us at the British Tech Network. The way they're doing that is by taking the resources they have and giving those things to us. So they're giving us the bandwidth we need so we can live stream shows every single week. They're giving us the hosting space we need so that there's a place for the website to live so you can find out what's going on, British Tech Network, and even get at all of the show recordings, which coincidentally, they're giving us the server space we need so that there's a place for all the show files to live. So, yeah, you can watch or listen to your favorite episodes anytime you want. Without their generous help, we would not be able to do what we do. And I'm not just saying that, it's true. They are giving us the resources so we can be here, and we really, really appreciate that. So thank you, TSO host, for being here and supporting us. And all of you, please hop out on social media and let TSO hosts know that you appreciate them too. It's super easy to do, and it's a really great and effective way to let them know that we all appreciate their generosity and their support. So thanks again, TSO hosts. Hey, I did mention domain names. They make it easy to buy domain names. So if by chance you have found one that you think you need to buy, like I think Chuck has already bought crankyswanson.com, throw your domain name in your cart and then add that discount code that I'm about to tell you, BTN20. That's the discount code, BTN20. Add that and you get an extra 20% off your order. So, hey, thanks, TSO host, for being generous with all of the BTN family as well. We appreciate that. And speaking of appreciation, I say it a lot, and I'm going to keep saying it for a while because it's all still fresh and new. Patrice, thank you for updating
You're welcome.
the live stream and the live chat system. We're modernized, and it's super slick, and it's a great improvement over what we had. And I know you say it's easy. But that doesn't change the fact that it's awesome what you did. But would you mind telling people about the live chat part?
Sure. Really quick, we to just give you the gist of it. Live.britishtechnetwork.com. That's where our live stream is. And if you have time or you're interested, whatever, actually both probably should have time, and you also need to be interested because why else would you not do this? Then you can head over to live.britishtechnetwork.com. Every Friday around 4 p.m. UK time. We usually start a couple of minutes later. We try to be on time, but you know us. But the pre and the post shows are quite funny sometimes. Like you're missing a lot if you're only listening to the recorded form. So go there, talk to us. There's the live chat on the right-hand side if you're on a tablet or desktop, whatever. On the mobile phone, I think it's under the stream window. And yeah, that's it. Like literally, that's how easy it is. If you've done this on YouTube or like one of the many other sites, you know how it works. It's literally there's a window, you just start typing. It generates the really funny names like what we just had, Qu Cranky Swanson. There's also Industrial Bassy, for example, stuff like that, which is Dave. stuff like that. So it generates really funny names, but if you don't like them or you would just want to show up as some other name, click on a little purple thing up top and select change name and do that. So it's quite easy. But if you don't want to listen to us live, you can't, whatever the reason, you just prefer it that way, totally fine. We record these shows, we put them out like in your favorite podcast player of choice, website, wherever you get them. You can't, of course, join the live chat then because that's over, but you can at least still see the links and everything that we talked about in the chat. There's a transcript on our website. And all you have to do for that is you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then select the date. There's a calendar, big long calendar pops up. And you say whatever date you would like to see the transcript for. And if you, for example, select today's date, which would be October 18th, 2024, then you would see what we talked about today. And actually, if you're doing it while for recording, you could even see it live. That's how good it is. Super easy.
Very cool. Patrice, thank you for doing that. And now continuing with what apparently has become Jeff's abrupt transition episode, let's do cool things. And who has the first one? That would be Patrice.
Wow, I'm twice in a row. I was yesterday quickest as well. I'll keep it brief, I hope. If you've heard of Infuse, which is a video player app, basically for iOS, iPadOS, macOS, and now VisionOS with version 8, then this is right up your alley. They have released after, I think, a couple of years. They've been frequently updating it, but they have basically rewritten, or massively at least refactored, the entire thing. And it is now available on the Vision Pro. So if you have, for example, like me, a Jellyfin server, a Plex server, NB, there's a couple other open source servers, or you just have video files that you want to play. We use them, like players like this, quite often on the Vision Pro to play certain 3D video content, like 180, 360, stuff like that. Then this is a new version. It is not free. There's a subscription attached to it, but it's not a lot. It's like, I don't remember. Was it 10 bucks a year, 20 bucks a year, something like that? It's not a lot. There's even a $100 lifetime license if you really want it. But it's a really good player. It got even better on the Vision Pro now. Well, you could use it on the Vision Pro before in kind of iPad mode, and it was fine. But now it is really good. And they have massively upgraded everything so that it also handles bigger libraries and bigger files and so on. So it is my favorite player, and now I'm very happy and that they're like now on the Vision Pro natively. Infuse
very
8.
Cool.
Firebase. FireCore is the company.
Very cool. Wow, sorry about that. Excuse me.
No dying allowed, Jeff.
But, you know, can you imagine what it would do for the show ratings? Jeff
this
dies live on the internet. It's there would be a whole demographic that would just go crazy for that. Anyhow, Ben, your turn. Tell us about your cool thing.
Well, this is going to be something that surprises absolutely nobody. It's going to be about gaming.
Huh. I'm shocked. I didn't see that coming.
Nope. So, everybody knows, as we just told you, the iPad Mini 7 is out. The iPhone 16 series just came out.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But there's kind of always been a little problem with most mobile gamepads. They have these tiny little Nintendo Joy-Con size buttons that just don't allow you to do hardcore gaming. And the controllers themselves are they're just too small for anything but a phone. If only there was a full-size controller that worked on anything up to an iPad mini. Well, enter the gaming gods at Razer, who released their Kishi Ultra. This thing is full size, gives you buttons about the size of an Xbox controller, fits that iPad mini, fits your Android phone, fits your iPhone 15 or 16 series.
They're pretty confident in their solution. They call it the God tier of mobile gaming.
Because it basically is. I mean, in typical Razer fashion, you get full RGB. So, and the other thing is, especially with the larger Pro Max size phones, the larger size of this allows you to put, basically have your phone in there with case without making any real sacrifices. You don't have the camera bump getting in the way. So if you want that game console experience on your Mac, on your not, well, technically you can use it on your Mac via USB-C cable, but if you want that really high tier gaming on your device, especially now that the iPad Mini 7 can play those same console level games that the iPhone can.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's not going to be cheap. It's going to be $150, but Amazon offers three payments, just saying.
I mean, 150 is not for a controller. It's not that crazy.
Well, and a controller you can use with your iPhone, your iPad mini, and if you really want with your
Yeah,
Mac.
you know, the God tier. So.
Yeah, or your PC or your Android phone or pretty much anything. I mean, hell, you could
Can you
probably use
do
it
it?
on onlychucks.com.
Can you use it with your LP?
See, another reason why Gen X is so angry.
Yes.
All right.
Cool.
Very nice. And Chuck, now it's your turn.
Okay, so I have a monitor problem, as you can tell. And I saw this come across, and I even texted Jeff last night and was asking which ultra wide he's had, because I've always wondered what the ultra wide experience would be. So this is not something I can tell you I have, because but I am struggling with the idea that there's a pretty darn good discount on it. And I'm wondering if it's worth experimenting to see. Now, the things that are giving me pause, first of all, this is HDMI only for this price, not DisplayPort and HDMI. On the other hand, the reviews, I always kind of look at the 4 and 5 star reviews and combine those and figure that's a pretty good indicator. And the percentage here is pretty darn high. So I'm bringing this up to point it out for those of you that might be in the market for an ultra wide, and also to see if anybody wants to talk me up or down off the ledge.
Not gonna happen.
Jump.
Go for it.
Thanks, Patrice. Yeah, I can tell you didn't even look at the details. You just said
Nope.
go for it. Yeah.
Go for it. It's 200 bucks. I mean, what can go wrong?
Yeah. Well, it's Samsung, so that means something. The one of the big issues, though, is I admit I've gotten very used to looking at 4K displays, and so I'm wondering if this is going to come off as a little bit not fuzzy, but just not what I'm used to. And so that is one another big holdback. On the other hand, when you look at what the 4K displays go for, I mean that's, it's crazy. But it's not the ultra wide format. So, Jeff, I'm curious. Do you have thoughts, especially as an ultra wide user?
I really like having a wide curve display, and I have found that I don't feel the need to have my lid open on my MacBook Pro when I'm at my desk, because I can just do everything I want here. I can definitely see the difference in just overall image quality when I switch over to working with just my MacBook Pro screen, because it is significantly higher resolution. But this is really high resolution. And most of what I do on this display really is text related. And of course I do some image editing, but the core of my work is text related, and you need to have sharp text. So I'm not seeing a problem with the text quality on my display. And the thing that would hold me back on this one is HDMI only. I feel like I just have a much better experience with a display when I can go DisplayPort versus
Yes.
HDMI.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. Well, maybe you save me some money. I'm just looking.
Maybe you're
On
just
the other
buying a
hand,
different one.
The display port, thanks, Patrice. Yeah, the display port version is $229. That too is a limited time deal. So that looks, you know, that looks pretty good. So I'm, you know, I throw it out there.
There is a display port version for $30 more.
Right. Right. So, you know, I mean, look, it looks like a pretty good deal. I may try it just for the fun of it to see, because again, I've always, but Jeff, you brought up another interesting thing that yours is curved. Mm-hmm. Is yours 34 or 38?
Mine's 34.
34.
I had to
okay.
do like this to look up at the corner of the screen to yeah. see what the number silk screened on is. Yeah, it's 34. When you're looking at curved displays, the curve matters.
It does.
Because some of the companies that they'll do a curve where it's just this really obvious curve, and you can get like some weird distortion with it. And it can be wonky at times.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to get a curved display where they've actually like really thought about that curve. So like with this HP display, the curve it's actually kind of a subtle curve.
Mm-hmm.
But what it does is it gives me the same focal distance when I'm looking at the center of my screen or when I'm looking at the edge of my screen.
Yeah.
So that helps with eye strain.
Okay. This one is not curved. Let's be real clear on that too. So, it's something I'm looking at almost as a Dave Ginsburg kind of toy. You know,
totally get to it.
Yeah,
and you know something like this that you're using as a secondary display. Like if you don't like how it works for you as a primary display, or it's your spare display, or you want to have a big TV experience at your desk and you have a spare Apple TV, you plug that into it.
That's a good, thanks, Jeff. You and Patrice are both just encouraging.
You know,
they're enablers.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're welcome.
I mean, that's what you wanted, right? I mean, that's why you mentioned it here. Otherwise, why would you do that? You just wanted someone that says, yes, Chuck, it's okay. You can do it.
So, Chuck, you just asked about my cool thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Legos.
Not this week.
Wow.
I try and mix it up some, but there's some really cool Lego stuff that's out. My cool thing is... half off discount on Amazon for Batman the Complete Animated Series on DVD. So that this is the what's considered the Batman animated series and has some amazing story telling in it. And so if you're a fan of Batman and you like the animated series, then here you go. You can pick it up for half price. And I already have this set, and I got it on DVD, I think. I don't remember. Doesn't matter. I'm on Blu-ray, it's like $45, so it's not that much more. But at $35 for the entire series, that's a pretty nice deal. And it is a really, really well done series. This is the one where you get Mark Hamill voicing the Joker, and oh crap, I just forgot Conroy's first name.
Kevin. Thank
you, Kevin Conroy voices Batman. It's the Batman voice that like everyone knows.
He
I
is
am
the
knight. See?
I am vengeance.
I am vengeance.
I am Batman.
Yeah, it's a really well done series. So anyhow, there you go. Batman Complete Animated Series, $35 on Amazon right now. And with that, it is now time for us to wrap up this
train wreck.
It's like you read my mind, this train wreck of an episode. Yeah. Chuck, your expression says it all, and it's spot on.
Well, you know, it did have its moments, no question. It got
boy howdy. Anyhow, hey, thank you to the three of you for putting a smile on my face, and actually for being so incredibly tolerant of me. Because I mean, look at what the hell, people. Anyhow, you are all awesome, and I'm glad that you're here. And this is just a fun way for me to kick off my Fridays. So with that, Chuck, where can people find you?
Look me up over at macvoices.com. That's where there are a lot of interesting interviews with a lot of interesting people and some really, not that we always have great stuff, but there are some especially interesting things coming up in the next couple of weeks that are already in the can that relate to everything that's been coming out in the Apple world right now. So check that out. We do the live show Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern on YouTube at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV with everybody here, including Patrice when she stays up late. And on the socials, you can find me as at Chuck Joyner.
Awesome.
Or maybe soon, Cranky Swanson.
Mm-hmm. I am really looking forward to that website. Yeah. Hey, Ben, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me at Ben Rithig on your social media of choice. My writings and ravings are over at rithig.tech. On the podcast front, you can find me occasionally on Mac Voices Live with Mr. Chuck Joyner. The next 2 weeks, I am actually off on Tuesday nights. So, in other words, Chuck might schedule an impromptu business trip.
Yes. You have to visit me in Austria, Thursday, right? That's the reason.
Yes. Yeah, most Thursday nights you can find me on the AWOL Dave Ginsburg show in Touch with iOS. Just kidding, Dave. Or should we say, what was his name? Industrial Bassy.
That's a nice name too.
Yep. And when I don't have doctor's appointments, you can find me here on the British Tech Network.
Yeah, Industrial Bassy. That was Chuck's second prog rock album. Yeah. Again, how is it that Ewan lets me continue to host this show?
I'm wondering about the same thing.
See, I totally get it. Yep. Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, first and foremost, probably hanging out on FaceTime on the Vision Pro in full-on spatial, because holy forking shirt balls, that is amazing. And on this show, every Friday on the Mac show, every Thursday on the Big show, everything I'm doing, all the social media links and whatnot on my website, thepatrice.com. And just published again, this like a couple hours ago, Retro Rewatch with Jeff Gamet, where we rewatch Stargate SG-1 currently. And we just published a really cool, albeit kind of mixed, if I look at our reviews, episode, which is episode 14 of Stargate Season 1, Stargate SG-1, Hathor, and that is Retro Rewatch.
Oh.
RetroRewatch.com.
That was a fun episode.
Hathor is always fun.
Yes, but not particularly in this one.
Yeah, I had some issues with this episode. Yep. Awesome. All right, so then I believe it's down to me. Jay Gamet on the various social medias. I'm posting mostly on Instagram and Mastodon. And if you're following along for Inktober, my drawings are showing up on both. Then for shows, Chuck, at least up until this week, lets me on... Mac Voices Live And Dave, at least up until this week, lets me on In Touch with iOS. Then here we are on the British Tech Network, the big show on Thursdays, the Mac show on Fridays. And Brent Chaffin and I do the Context Machine. And Patrice just pointed out that we do Retro Rewatch and we have a new episode out now. So with that, thank you again to the three of you for just being so awesome, fantastic, wonderful people. And I am really happy that we get to spend time together every single week. And all of you that are watching, listening live, participating in the live chat, I'm so glad you are here for the roller coaster ride right along with us. And everyone that watches or listens to the shows later on, hey, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. And Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thank you for making sure we have people for shows. And Tio Sohos, thank you for being here and supporting us. Please go give them some online love. And with that, wow, okay, it is now time to really wrap up the show and potentially start our weekends. So don't forget to join us next Thursday for the big show. Come back again on Friday for the Mac show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.